You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Associate Health Minister Peter Dunn announced yesterday changes to the availability of medicinal cannabis products. Now patients will be able to obtain permission from the ministry instead of Mr. Dunn himself. I spoke to Ross Bell from the New Zealand Drug Foundation about the changes and started off by asking what it means for patients seeking these medicines.
Well, it's not a change in the law as such. It's a change in the process that's in place to, you know, approve medical cannabis products. And at the moment, approvals have to be signed off by the Associate Minister of Health, Peter Dunn. What he's now saying is that he's happy to pass that responsibility to the Ministry of Health. Now, that's a good thing. It takes, I guess, some of the political heat out of this issue. But, you know, don't think that this is a huge deal. One of the issues, I think patients who submit applications to the ministry through their medical specialists, is that they're still going to confront a bureaucracy who is deeply sceptical of the medical benefits of cannabis. And, you know, Ministry of Health officials, I don't think, are going to approve products any quicker than Peter Dunn may have.
Yeah, and because, I mean, as I understand it, sort of, the products people are seeking medicinally usually contain CBD, which is like a totally different compound to, you know, what people usually think of when they think of marijuana, which is the THC compound, which like gets people high. So people are usually trying to seek CBD. Do you think there's a lack of understanding in this? Like, do you think that's sort of has anything to do with it?
No. Well, I think I don't think we should get too caught up on the CBD versus THC thing. I know that there's a current argument about, you know, whether CBD, which does certainly have medical benefit, is should be covered under our drug law or our medicine law. What we've seen with medical cannabis products is that because there's 400 compounds within cannabis, and the scientists don't yet know which of those 400 bring medical benefit and in what combination. So I don't think we should be ruling out THC. The science I've seen is that actually in some medical cannabis products you want a bit of THC. And I don't think we should get caught up too much on, you know, because I think some people will fear, those that use medical cannabis are going to get high. Mm-hmm. Well, getting high isn't the worst side effect of a medicine, you know, that there is. You know, people can get out of it on morphine. There's a whole lot of side effects of medicines at the moment. So I think what we should be looking at is ensuring that there's a full range of products that have different ratios of different compounds delivered in different ways, oils, balms, edibles, potentially smokables in an e-cigarette, and so that doctors know that this full, you know, what of that full range would benefit what type of conditions. And there is a bit of research, you know, emerging around the world that looks into all of those different things. And there's a different range of products. There's companies in Canada, because the Canadian government has a medical cannabis scheme. There's a broad range of products in the Netherlands, because that government also has a comprehensive medical cannabis scheme. And I think we should be looking at those, you know, importing products from those countries. You know, their governments have gone through some due diligence and have identified products that are manufactured, you know, to a high standard, and bring those into the country. And I think one of the good things that was announced yesterday by Peter Dunn is that the Ministry of Health, he's told the Ministry of Health to develop a menu of products that patients and their specialists can draw upon. At the moment, the Ministry of Health leaves it up to patients and their doctors to do all of that research, to do all of that due diligence around the products. Well, he's put responsibility to the ministry to do that that bit of work.
As you said before, this isn't a massive sort of change. What do you think is sort of stopping New Zealand from going any further within, you know, around laws around marijuana?
Well, I think it all comes down to what do we want out of our medical cannabis law. And from my point of view, I don't think New Zealand is moving in any, you know, more slowly or any faster than similar countries. Australia is still grappling with this issue, the United Kingdom. they're still grappling with this issue, and I think it comes down to, you know, what do we mean by medical cannabis? I want fundamentally the ability for a doctor to prescribe a medicine just like any other medicine, and that's a little ways off because, you know, there's not enough research. Some people have a different view. Some people would say that medical cannabis is the ability for me to grow, you know, a number of plants in my backyard and develop my own medicine. And so I think people have different views and think that New Zealand is moving, you know, too slowly. And if you compare it to the California medical cannabis model or other models out of the United States, then, yeah, you know, New Zealand doesn't let patients grow their own weed. But I, you know, I don't think that there's any appetite of any political party, let alone this government, to say, oh, you know, let's patients can grow their own. And I'm not sure where the public would fit with that. And I think a lot of the public have a range of different appetites. I think when it comes to, say, you know, terminal patients, the public will say, you know, do what you want. For patients who might be a two-year-old kid who suffers from, you know, a seizing syndrome, well, then I think we want sort of much more stricter pharmaceutical controls in place.
How much of a difference what will this make for the accessibility to these sort of medicines, you know, not having to go all the way through to Peter Dunn? Do you think it's going to make that much of a difference?
No, I think that's the least important thing out of yesterday's announcement, shifting responsibility from the minister to the ministry, because what we saw is that Peter Dunn was just pretty much approving what the ministry put in front of him anyway. So I don't think that's going to change much. And again, I don't think people should get too excited about that, because I think the Ministry of Health officials, you know, within the ministry, there's some real sceptics around this issue. So I think the barriers will still remain. I think the bigger deal is the fact that the minister's told the ministry to develop this menu of products that people can choose from, and that's going to take a lot of the legwork away from patients and their specialists who really have no specialty in this issue. So what I anticipate will happen is that the Ministry of Health will contact their counterpart Ministry of Health officials in the Netherlands and Canada, maybe in Israel, where there's a good market there, and say, give us all the information about your products, and because we want to slap it on this list. And that's going to take a lot of effort away from patients. That's the thing that I think might make approvals more, you know, much more quicker for patients. None of this removes the biggest barrier, which is the barrier of cost. And it's still going to cost people a lot of money to import product.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.